Stand in His power, huh?
Yeah.
Welcome to those of you here in person and those of you here online as well. When you were singing that song, the word victory was all in capital letters. Yeah. Yeah, it was. And it is. Okay, Jesus has won the victory over sin, death, and the power of the devil. But we still got work to do here on earth, right? We still got a life to live. And during this life, we are to be joyful. We are to be patient and to be faithful. And we're going to be learning about those things today. Let's start with our readings.
Our first reading this morning is from Romans chapter 12, verse 12. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. The second reading is from Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. And our third reading this morning is from Philippians chapter 4, verses 10 through 13. I rejoiced greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstance. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through Him who gives me strength. Here ends the lesson.
Please rise if you're able for the reading of the gospel. Today's gospel reading is found in the book of Luke, chapter 5, verse 16. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Here ends the reading. Children's Church, any kids want to head on out, feel free at this time. Lord, thank you for your word that it guides us, that it directs us, that it corrects us, and gives us hope. Lord, it gives us hope. Our hope is in you. So may this word this morning just speak to us and touch us deep down inside, as only you can. Amen. As Paul is writing to the Romans, one thing he's doing is encouraging them. And this is something that's important for us as believers, as Christians, to encourage others, right? To uplift them. Not to bring them down, not to put them down, but to encourage them, to give encouragement. Some people are really good at that. You see some coaches. They're just great at encouraging their team. Can the team perform better when they're being encouraged? Yes. Can we all perform better if we're being encouraged? Absolutely. Okay? It's great to have someone encouraging you, to have someone that's there for you, someone that's lifting you up, that's building you up. You can build up with words. That's one way. With actions, we can encourage others. There's so many ways to encourage others. And again, that's one of the things that Paul is doing here today. As he's writing this letter to these people in Rome, he's encouraging them in verse 12 to be joyful in hope, encouraging them to be patient in affliction, and encouraging them to be faithful in prayer. As we noted earlier, the victory is already won, but we got work to do here yet on earth. And as we are doing this work of Christians, we are to be joyful, we are to be patient, and we are to be faithful. All three of these things, in all things. So we're going to look at each one in just a little more detail here. First of all, be joyful in hope. And we selected Romans 5 for this, which speaks of hope. Indeed, Paul writes, we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Rejoicing in hope. Well, without hope, life would be pointless, I guess. But the biblical hope, remember, is a confident expectation. It's a waiting for something that's basically guaranteed. So we think of hope that way. Again, it's not, oh, I hope this is going to happen. I hope it's going to. No, it's not that. It's something as God has declared, and we have the hope of that. So we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. But we also rejoice in our sufferings. That's a little tougher. But our God, of course, can bring good out of anything. And sufferings have their place. We are going to endure suffering here on earth. Anybody here never suffered before? Didn't think so. Okay. But we have to be joyful in hope. This suffering, of course, is temporary. Even if you're afflicted with all kinds of things, it's just temporary. Indeed, this life is temporary. But we're looking forward to one that is not temporary, that is eternal, when we'll be in our forever home with God. And that is something to which we can really look forward to, no matter what's happening here on earth. Hope is a positive thing. It's not a negative. Hope is a positive. Everything about it is positive. We are looking forward to something good, to something better with hope. Hope can sustain a person. You think you've maybe read about prisoners of war that have been isolated, been tortured for sometimes years. But if they have hope, that keeps them going. I've read about a lot of those prisoners, they would have scripture that they had memorized. And they could just dwell on those verses, meditate on them, connect with God through them, and have that hope. If they didn't have hope, they're going to give up. They're not going to live well. They're not going to live long, basically, because hope can fuel us. Hope can feed us. Take two people, one that has hope and the other does not, in those dire straits, that kind of situation. One without hope, they're just going to waste away. But the one with hope, they have something positive to look forward to, and that is going to sustain them. Even someone that's in prison with a life sentence, they have no hope of getting out. If it's life without parole, they have no hope of getting out. But if they have encountered Christ, if they have given themselves over to Jesus, then they have a hope, something to look forward to in the next life, in that eternal life. And it's never too late. We can always give our life to Him, even at the last breath, of course. So looking forward. As we were looking at this in Bible study on Tuesday morning, and we had said, those without hope, what would that be like? That, you know, no good, of course. If you don't have hope, your body's going to start to waste away, your mind's going to start to waste away, your spirit's going to start to waste away, everything in you without hope. And we laughingly said, it was sort of like that song from Hee Haw, gloom, despair, and agony on me. Deep, dark depression, excessive misery, perhaps you remember that, right? And if that was your attitude, what would life be like? What would it be worth it if you're caught up in that? Now, we all have times when we're down the dumps. That happens. It's going to. We're going to be on this roller coaster throughout this life. We're going to have the good times. We're going to have the bad times, indeed. The uphill climbs, the downward glides. A downward glide sounds good, but if you think about it, it's going down into the depths. You know, maybe that part's not so good. But at times, you can just sort of coast, right? You can just sort of enjoy the scenery. Life goes by. But the negatives and the positives, yeah, they sort themselves out, but we can be joyful, not only in the positives, but also in the negatives and the sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, okay? That stick-to-itiveness, that keep-on-going type thing. And you're going to learn that through trials. How else are you going to learn that? You're going to learn it through trials. You don't really learn perseverance through reading a book, an instruction manual, anything like that. You have to go through things. You have to endure things to develop that perseverance. That perseverance then can produce character. Absolutely. And character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us. Again, hoping positive. Our enemy, of course, seeks to stomp out hope. He just wants to stomp it out wherever he can. He wants to crush it. He sees the spark of hope in someone, he's going to come in and try to crush it. Job, think about Job. You look back on that. Wow. Talk about having hope keeping you alive. Afflicted with things that, there's crazy what he was afflicted with. All kinds of things. There's the mental suffering, the physical suffering. We'll get into that a little bit more with patience and affliction. But through it all, he had hope. Through it all, he knew God is good. Through it all, he knew God is faithful. No matter what our circumstances, God is good, God is faithful, that's who he is. Job knew that. It sustained him, it kept him going. It was his faith, it was the hope he had that got him through all those numerous trials. Paul also learned to depend on God. He had tough times. We've seen that. We're going to see that in just a bit here. And he had to have something to keep him going. He had to be patient in the affliction. So let's turn to Philippians for that. To be patient in affliction. He started out with verse 10 that we read today. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. He's writing to the people of Philippi here. And he says, I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. Learned to be content. Again, experienced it. To be content no matter the circumstances. In the good times and the bad, to be content. It's easy to be content in the good times. Things are going great. That feeling of contentment, absolutely. That is a danger, however, because that can lead to complacency. When we're too content, we can start to become complacent. Then we're not out there making a difference for God. Again, we're just sort of coasting and gliding along. I guess the devil probably doesn't mind it so much if we're complacent. We're not being effective for God or for the kingdom if we're just being complacent. I had mentioned before Bonhoeffer in World War II as the Nazis rising to power. The churches, some of them unfortunately became complicit. They cooperated with the Nazis. The majority, they said over two-thirds of them were complacent. They said, okay, well, you do your political thing, we'll do our religious thing, but we're not really going to do anything. And then there were those that were courageous, that took a stand for what is right. They were persecuted, some were imprisoned, some were killed, but they took a stand for what is right. That being complacent is just as bad as being complicit, basically. Just letting things happen, not raising your voice, not making a fuss, not doing anything, not speaking out when you see wrong being done, even on large scale such as that. We are to be courageous. So to be content in any circumstance. I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. Remember in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, he had listed what his life was like at times. He's on the road for God. He's out there doing good things. He's out there spreading the gospel, not always accepted where he goes. Times are tough. And when you read through this list of what he had experienced, I've been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews, his fellow believers, although he is converted to a Christian, the 40 lashes minus one. 40 lashes is considered deadly, so they would just give him 39. So they almost died, but not quite. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea, constantly on the move. I've been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my own countrymen, in danger from the Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, in danger from false brothers. All this. I've never been shipwrecked. I've never been flogged severely. I've never been beaten with 39 lashes. I've never been beaten with rods. I've never been stoned. My life is pretty dull compared to this. It is, and I should be thankful for that. But he is willing to suffer all this. He could have walked away at any time, could have just given up. A lot of people would probably be tempted to give up after being beaten that severely once. But this many times, there's something that's keeping him going here. And through it all, he's content. He had learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, it said here. The secret to that. To being content during that affliction. And again, the afflictions listed there, they're basically physical. Did he also have mental affliction? All the rejection. Emotional affliction? You can't tell me that didn't scar him emotionally as well from being beaten like that and being rejected like that. Not only beaten, but rejected. Spiritual affliction? The enemy is going to focus his attacks on the biggest threats. I mean, that's just a principle of warfare. When I was a squad leader too in the guard and everything like that, we were out there doing our training battles, and you try to determine the greatest threat from the enemy. Maybe it's that machine gun position. So we're going to focus our power on that. We're going to try to take that out. Classic tactic in warfare, also in spiritual warfare. When our enemy sees the biggest threats, he's going to focus on them. If you're coming under spiritual attack, you can almost take it as a compliment at times because you know you're making a difference for the kingdom. If you're just complacent, are you a threat to the enemy? No. But when we are courageous for our faith, we are a threat to the enemy, and we are going to be attacked spiritually, sometimes physically, mentally, and emotionally as well. He's going to use any tool he can to try to stomp out the effect that we have and to stomp out the hope that we have. It's a hope that allows us to be patient in affliction. So joyful in hope, patient in affliction, those two are intertwined there. To be patient in the affliction, to endure the affliction, we have to have hope. And we don't just keep that hope to ourselves. We share it with those around us. That's the encouraging, or part of the encouragement, right? To share hope with others. And one thing that came to the realization on that, you know, if I take out my wallet and start sharing money with people, it depletes the amount of money I have. You know, basic math, right? But when I share hope, does it deplete the amount of hope I have? It doesn't. It doesn't. God just keeps on refilling that tank. He gives us this hope that we can give it away and we still have it. All right? We can have our cake and eat it too, basically, all right? Or give it away. There we go. Okay. But having that hope, and that's going to bring joy. People that have hope have joy. So joyful in hope, patient in affliction. So he's got this secret, he said. He's been through these horrible things, yet I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, in all circumstances, whether fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. He had experienced both. What is his secret? It's a connection to God and drawing on his strength. Follows up with verse 13, I can do everything through him who gives me strength. The source of his strength, the thing that keeps him going, is that connection with God. That's the secret. Drawing on God and on his power, right? Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, as it says in Ephesians 6. And that's what kept him going, this connection to God. He can do all things. He can endure all things. He can do all things through him, through Christ who gives me strength, by drawing on Christ's strength. So how can we access that? Can we draw on that same hope? Can we have that same strength? Can we endure the same things? Yes, we can. Absolutely. If he's going to draw strength from God, he needs a connection to God. He needs a connection to God, and that brings us to part three. We're joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer. We had our gospel today, just one verse, but Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Okay, just one sentence. But there's so much in it. Jesus often withdrew. Not just sometimes, not just occasionally, often. This is a priority for him. We're going to prioritize, you know, what's important to us. And to Jesus, to endure everything he did, to have the strength to do everything he did. He had long days of healing, of preaching, of travel, of engaging in battle with the Pharisees and, of course, with the enemy Satan. But he always made time to pray. He often prayed. We see it throughout the Gospels here. It says he often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. We have examples of him praying in the wilderness. He goes out in the wilderness, fasts, and prays for 40 days. You think you'd get sort of bored, wouldn't you? Out in the wilderness for 40 days, no one else around. At times that would be sort of nice, actually, just have that peace and quiet, but it would get boring. I know I'd want Jill with me, okay? But he's out there alone for 40 days, but he's connecting with the Father. To be that constant in prayer and fasting are great. They're like the power twins. They go together. Highly recommend it to fast when you pray sometimes too. You know, take a day and just fast. Don't eat that day. It's not that tough. Just plain don't eat. Maybe you'll be led to go 2 days or 3 days or 4 days. You know, if God leads you in the Spirit, follow. Okay? Make sure you drink enough water or juice, something like that. Keep you going. But for 40 days, just connecting with God. There's other examples where he went off on a mountain by himself to pray. Again, finding that lonely, isolated place. Where he went in the garden. He went with the 12 disciples, went a little further with the three, Peter, James, and John, and said, you wait here. He went off further by himself again to pray. So we have all these examples of him going off by himself, free of distractions. That's sort of the deal there. Having a place where you can pray, where you can just connect with God, free of distractions. In the wilderness, up on that mountain, in the garden, places like that, he is free from distractions. He would get up early before everybody else, go out and pray. We read that in the Gospels as well. So have that place. Some people have actually a prayer closet, where they go in a closet and they pray, where they can just totally focus on God. For Jesus, the wilderness was his prayer closet. He'd be out there in the wilderness. And there's something about being in nature where you can see what God has done, what God has created. It can draw you closer to God. Just being in that environment with all the miracles of life that we see around us. All throughout plant growth, through animals, and the interdependence of the ecosystems, and how he cares for everything. Again, desolate, no distractions. Where you could have this best connection. You know, this is better than 5G. He just had this best connection with God. Where he can recharge. We get depleted, and he certainly got depleted. Again, all the things he was doing, he needed to connect with God. He needed to recharge, and we're no different. We have to have that connection with God. We have to try to make it a good connection. To pray often. To withdraw, free from distractions, just so we can hear from God. And talk to him. It should be both ways, right? It shouldn't be us doing all the talking. Take time to listen when you pray as well. And to be faithful in prayer. That's what Paul wrote here, right? Faithful in prayer. Joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer. To be faithful to something, it's got to be a priority. If you're faithful to your spouse, if you're faithful to your work or whatever, you are faithful. You are always making time for that. It's a priority. So faithful in prayer, it's a priority. Let us be joyful in hope. All right, have that hope and let us share with others. Let us be patient in affliction because we can draw on God's strength. But let us also be faithful in prayer, coming to him, connecting with him, hearing from him. He's going to give us that hope. He's going to give us that patience. He's going to make it possible. Amen.